Hey, welcome to Kingsway Caringba. We are a community inspired by love to live differently. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. It's so great to have you with us. We pray this teaching will inspire you, build your faith, and lead you to a life of fullness and freedom in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Last week, we started into our new series, Heroes in Heaven, based on the Lord's Prayer, and we started with those first two words, Our Father. And this story, the one of the prodigal sons, is a story that Jesus told, not so much about the sons, but he told it so we would know who the Father was and what the Father was like. He told it in a time when the father, upon seeing his son return, the son that had gone off and spent his inheritance and wasted his family's riches, should have disciplined him, should have shamed him, should have kicked him out of the family if he was to follow the cultural rules. Instead, ran out to him, embraced him, put his cloak upon him and gave him his ring, and threw a party because his son had come home. When we come to the Father, we can expect this kind of embrace. And our confidence in prayer is established upon our security in the Father's love. I hope that you got a chance this week to meditate on Psalm 23, the homework I set for you all. And to sit in that passage of our Father as a good shepherd and how he provides and cares and guides and comforts and protects us. You know, the Father's love and acceptance is always real, even when we don't feel it. That's the truth of the gospel. But there was another son in this story. The older son, who I've always identified with as an older kid, as the older child in the family. And he gets upset and a bit jealous and a bit angry at this lavish and scandalous generosity shown to the younger son by the father. And the father in our story, seeing the older son and seeing his wrestle, turns to him and says, "My son, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours." Ponder that for a moment. That our Father God is not only the Father that embraces us, but he turns to you this morning and he says, "Everything I have is yours." Following Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, we find a couple of verses that touch on this very same idea. Let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she'd asked for an egg? Of course not. Even imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need. How much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? Power is not an issue with God. His resources are unlimited. And I've been sitting also in Psalm 130 of late, and there's this line that just gets me, and it says, "He has 1,000 ways to set you free." His resources, his ways are unlimited towards you. Is this the kind of God that you have in mind when you pray? Is this the kind of God you envisage? The Father full of embrace and unlimited resource. I've got this simple little song on my worship playlist that I like to listen to regularly because it reminds me of something important, and it says this: may we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. It's a song based on Psalm 4, verse 3, where it says, may we never forget the Lord works wonders for every one of his devoted lovers. And this is how I know he will answer my prayer. You know, there seems to be this connection between remembering and trusting. And I think we've got to get in the habit of remembering the wonders of God. We have a new puppy in our house, which is exciting and troublesome. And one of the things that I've been doing with this new puppy is going into my backyard late at night to take the puppy to the toilet with the hope that it will sleep through the night. And when I've been out there, I've been looking up at the sky. And this is something that I don't do regularly at 10:30 at night, walk into the backyard and look up at the sky. And it's been such an incredible gift in these last 2 weeks because the stars, I don't know if anyone else has probably got no reason to be in your backyard at 10:30 at night looking at the sky. The sky has been so clear, and the stars, oh my goodness, in the middle of Lilypilly, the stars. Like, I see stars like that when I go bush or out in the country, but the stars have been incredible. And I felt like David in Psalm 8, where it says, you know, God, you place the stars in the sky. You hold them there, and you know each one of them by name. Who am I that you're mindful of me? I've had that moment in my backyard, waiting for the dog to poop, looking at the stars. That moment of wonder. Doesn't matter what's going on in the day. Every night I'm finishing my day going, God, you've got the stars in place. You're all over it. You know exactly where I am and what's going on for me. You know, there's times in our lives where either the griefs or the challenges of life, or just kind of the grind and the mundaneness of it, and the over and over again, lunchboxes, kids, whatever, work, causes us to kind of lose that sense of wonder. You know, I came into this year a little bit like that, in that space of having grasping in that sense of God's wonder and struggling with some challenges. And Troy and I decided that we would book a family trip to go away, which we did in April, just to lift our eyes off what was going on further. And so we went to America, and we had many opportunities while we were there to have that sense of wonder. But I want to show you a little clip of one of those, probably my favourite one. And I had to go searching for it this morning because God just reminded me of it. And when I found it on our family WhatsApp, Troy had actually written this. He said, definitely some awe and wonder at the power of this waterfall today. So just take a look.
So here we are at the Hetchy Hetch Waterfall.
Have you ever wrangled on? Because it's actually really
great. It's intense. Are you ready to come with us? Let's go. We're going to get wet.
One,
two, three. We did it.
I think the day after we were there, they actually closed it because it was deemed unsafe. But I watched a guy walk over it before us. So I'm like, we'll be good. But like, how often do you get a chance to stand in the face of a waterfall like that? Like, we had to do it. We came out soaked. Jesse and I went across before this, and we went to the next level, didn't we, Jess? We were like hardcore. But it was just incredible to stand there in the face of this waterfall and to remember how big God is and how small I am, and you're God and I'm not God, and get everything in the right order and place. In Mark's account of the time when Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and fed the 5,000, he writes that Jesus took the bread and the fish And then he looked up and he gave thanks. When John tells us about the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he too writes that Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you that you've heard me." Jesus, in these moments, fixes his gaze on the Father's love, orienting himself not to the problem or the pain that's in front of him, but to his Father God and the resource of his kingdom. When Peter looks at Jesus, he can walk on the water. But you know what happens. When he looks at the waves, he starts to sink. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you looking at? Where is your gaze? Because if we want to pray like Jesus, we want to see heaven come on earth, then we need to have our eyes fixed on God. Both his loving embrace and his unlimited resources. That is what we're doing when we hallow his name. To hallow the Lord's name is to consider his greatness and his majesty. And Jesus believes it's an essential step towards seeing his kingdom come on earth. We will never utter bold prayers unless we are secure in his love and confident in his power. We hallow his names with our lips, in our thoughts, and with our lives. You know, not only are God's resources unlimited, but the Bible tells us that God is reigning. He reigns. He's in control. Psalm 93, verse 1 says this, "Look, Yahweh now reigns as king. He has covered himself with majesty and strength, wearing them as his splendor garments. Regal power surrounds him as he sits securely on his throne. He's in charge of it all, the entire world, and he knows what he's doing." I love that thought. He knows what he's doing. You know, this prayer tells us he's our Father in heaven. Theologian N.T. Wright challenges the notion that so many of us carry that heaven is a long way off, somewhere up there beyond the clouds. He says that God's not watching us from a distance, like the Bette Midler song would tell you, for those that know Bette Midler. But heaven is more like the control room or the CEO's office for what's happening here on earth. Next week, Dave is going to explore heaven a whole lot more when we get to the next part of our prayer. But today and for now, I want you to know that God being in heaven doesn't mean that he's remote, but that he's in charge. He's calling the shots and he's ruling and reigning over the earth. So how does this concept of hallowing his name play out in our everyday lives? We're going to hear from two people's lives this morning. One is Jehoshaphat, and I'm going to share some of his story with you. And then the other is Robin, and she's going to share a little bit about what it means to hallow his name in the midst of life. And then she's going to lead us into some more worship. So 2 Chronicles 20 is where we find Jehoshaphat's story. And it's a story where worship and adoration lead to a victory in battle. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to get straight to the crux of the story without giving you all the history and the context, but I do encourage you to go sit in it this week. It's an incredible, probably almost one of my favorite Old Testament stories. So our leading man, Jehoshaphat, is faced with a great army coming against all of Judah, and he realizes that he is well and truly outnumbered. Who's ever felt outnumbered in life? I certainly have. felt outnumbered, perhaps by a certain puppy called Maggie, right now. So Jehoshaphat is looking at this army coming towards him and his people, and he's starting to get worried because he realizes that he's outnumbered. Now, the first thing that we learn that Jehoshaphat did is that he looked up. Verse 3 says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. He was afraid and he set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I love this because fear doesn't mean we lack faith when it leads us to trust in God. I love that. He was afraid and he set his face to seek the Lord. You can be afraid and look to God and trust him. Both things can happen at the same time. And they gathered. And as they gathered, they began to remind themselves and to remind God of his greatness. And they began to testify to his miraculous power and the incredible things that they had already seen him do. In verse 7, it says, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They're remembering, they're reminding God. And they have lived in it, and they've built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear, and you will save. They were remembering, and as they remembered, they were getting themselves ready to trust God with the army that was coming against them, with the battle they were in. They were hallowing his name. And what follows this time of worship and remembering comes the most profound prayer of trust. It's a prayer of surrender followed by confidence. It goes like this: O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This might be my very favorite prayer ever in the whole of the Bible. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This same prayer is echoed in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom. But my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. My boast is in the Lord my God, who makes me strong and gives me victory. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. The story goes on that all of Judah stood before the Lord, the men, their wives, and their children. They stood before God together. They trusted God together. Jehoshaphat knew that all the nation, men, women, and children, needed to be in on this prayer. And that's what I loved about the last 24 hours. Children, young people, men, women, all gathering together to pray. Because in this very act, they were teaching the children how to hallow his name. What happens next is that God speaks to the crowd through a guy named Jehaziel, a prophet. And he says, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Wow. Powerful word. That would have encouraged the people. So the next morning they get up And Jehoshaphat leads them out and he says, don't worry, believe in your God. He's going to come through for us. And then he does something really interesting. It says that ahead of the army, he sends out men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, saying, give thanks to the Lord for the his steadfast love endures forever. And the Bible says that as they sang, God sent an ambush against those who had come against Judah. As they hallowed his name, as they trusted in their God, God delivered them. Just listen to this. Like, we read it, but can you imagine if you were there in this army? Right? You're going out. God said, I've got it under control. Your leader says, look, we're just going to sing. We're just going to sing. Like, seriously. We're going to put down our weapons and we're just going to sing and watch the Lord deliver us. And it says this. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. Like, imagine that, coming over the thing, ready for battle, singing to God, and you get to the top of the hill and you look out and everyone's already dead. Like, none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking all the spoil. It was so much. So not only does God deliver them from the battle, but they come away arms full of his abundant blessing and provision. Jehoshaphat and all of Israel learned to look up and to hallow his name in the midst of the battle. And they saw the victory and the abundant blessing of God. What a great story. I don't know what to do, Lord. I've been there so many times. But my eyes are on you. You will make a way. You are the way maker. Whatever it is, small or large. He makes a way. I'm going to ask Robin to come up now because she is someone that I've watched and has learnt to hallow his name in the midst of the challenges of life. So I'm going to hand over to her.
Don't worry, I'm not going to talk for long. I've just got my 2 pages here. As you know, I've been asked to share on Hallowed Be Your Name and how adoration flows out of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So when Kim first asked me, I thought, oh, wow, that's big. Where do I start? So I'm just going to share a few thoughts on what I've read and then share very briefly on some personal testimony of this outworking in my own life. So firstly, like a lot of people do, is what hallowed means is simply to make holy, to honour as holy, and to revere. And I love the perspective in the Passion Version that says, for hallowed be your name, may the glory of your name be the centre on which our lives turn. I'll just read that again because I think it's quite powerful. May the glory of your name be the centre on which our lives turn. And for me, it's knowing who God is and proving who he is, his name, the victor, the everlasting Father, the restorer, my healer. And I've been reading a book called The Throne Room of God, and in it was talking on our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it said, we adore and worship his name as we recognise his virtues and his beauty, causing us to worship. And worship is the true way of adoring the name of Father God, of hallowing his name. And a song I've listened to that for me reflects some of what adoring his name represents. And it's simply saying, worship is connection. We're singing to the one who has been singing over us the whole time, whether we recognise that or not. But, you know, I love that picture. And for me personally, worship is surrender. So it's that acknowledgement that I cannot walk through this situation or circumstance without the knowledge of your presence. And it's like a pressing in to his presence. It's like a picture of running into his name. And in that place, I can hear from God and he reveals to me who he is in any given situation. And it's in the midst of really hard circumstances declaring, you are a good, good father. You are faithful. I'm going to hold on to you till you bless me, a bit like Jacob, until I see breakthrough, and however long that takes. You are who you say. I declare it, and that's my truth, and that is my reality. So God's word is our reality, not the circumstances that we're in, and it's declaring that. And for me, it shifts the atmosphere. It positions me in a place where I can hear from God. And in times of my deepest pain and struggle, for me personally, that's when I find the most comfort in his name and to run into his name. And actually right now, I'm in that time. I'm in a very vulnerable place with one of my sons suffering with mental illness. And for over 10 years now, and the cycles of this, and I've been praying for breakthrough, and I'll be honest, my hopes have been dashed, and I've struggled a bit and he's in hospital right now, and I've been struggling through this, but holding on to God at the same time, and you know, the rawness of emotion as a mum to see your kid in pain, your child, no matter what age they are, and seeing his pain and confusion, I think the hardest thing for me is not being able to help and feeling so helpless. And I'll be honest, I've prayed so many prayers that I don't have any more prayers to pray. But I believe there still will be breakthrough. And it may not be in the way I envisaged either. And so, but God is God. And I know who he is, and he's a good, good father. And yeah, I just love to, in that way, to worship him. And I just, yeah, you have no more words to say, but God, I know who you are, and you are God. And so I love this verse. It says in Psalm 84, 1 and 2, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and even yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And I want to play a portion of a song now called Defender by Jesus Culture. And I think it sums up well, hallowed be your name. And I'll play a portion now. And then following this, I just want us to have a time of quiet in his presence. And not to be afraid to be quiet in his presence. To stand still. To be still and know that he's God. And that is worship as well. And then the team will lead us in a time of worship, further worship in song. So, yeah, just let's see what God does and what name he might bring to you in this season.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've been blessed by this teaching. If you'd like to connect with us, make a financial gift, or find out more about Kingsway Churches, head to kingsway.org.au. Have a good one.